Amen. So we're so glad that you're here today. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our children's ministry today. God, I thank you for every young heart that you have entrusted to us. And God, I declare that the word will be spoken over them today, Lord, that they will know who they are in Christ, that you will empower them, give them visions and dreams for the kingdom of God, Lord, that they might be world changers at a young age, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to start with a joke this morning, and I think it'll tie in later. If it doesn't, just forget about it. It's all right. But anyway, the joke goes something like this. Things I ask my mom: where's my shoes? Where's my phone? What's for dinner? Did you wash my clothes? Why can't animals talk? Things I ask my dad: where's mom? might not fit everybody, but yeah. Where's my mom? Amen. Women, this one is probably more geared to me, but you'll get it in a minute. Women, women who carry a little extra weight live longer than the men who mention it. There's your word of wisdom today. Amen. Hallelujah. I am thankful for every blessing in every size, in every season. Amen. Of the Lord. We've been talking for the last few weeks about next level thinking, next level concepts, next level expansion. And don't get me wrong, I believe that in all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in us. We are complete in Him. I believe that He has accomplished all that He need to accomplish. It's a finished work. It is ours. Our salvation is secure in Him. I believe all of that. But how many of you can say you're ready for some expansion? You're ready for some next level thinking? And the kingdom, I don't think we ever get to a place where there's not more of what we can either experience, understand, or teach. My desire is always to be a student first and then a teacher. Amen? I'm not just called to teach, but I'm called to learn. And so every time I can grab a hold of a nugget, or every time I can see something differently, I was like, oh yeah, that's good, and I'm going to use that. Amen? And I may or may not give credit to whoever said it first, but that's okay. If it's inspired of the Lord, it's out there, right? And so I always want to be a teacher. I always want to be a student first and then a teacher, because I believe there are nuggets. Pastor Seth Fleming sent me something, I believe it was yesterday, and he said, I think you're going to like this. And I sent back and said, oh, yes, I do. Thank you. Send me more, you know. And it was just something that he had shared, and it had to do with some cultural Jewish background things. And, you know, I love that. I love to know the mindset, because if we don't understand the culture of the day that it was spoken in and the context that it was spoken in, we're not going to understand the relevance to us in this day. Amen. How many know there were some things that Jesus spoke that he was speaking to the audience that could audibly hear him and hear his voice that did not necessarily apply to us? Amen. Right? There were some things that he said this generation will not pass away until this be fulfilled. Yeah. Amen? He didn't say that to me. He said that to them. Now, is there application of that in my life now in 2024? You better believe it. You better believe it. Yes, I'm going to glean everything from that. But when we learn to hear in context, and we learn to hear culturally sometimes what the Lord was doing in some things, we in our minds sometimes miss the icons that are there, and we get a good word, but it's not necessarily a great word of understanding. Amen. How many know there's always a deeper level? There's always something yet to learn. I mean, Dr. Howells, you'll say amen. There's always a different. Man, I'll read a portion of scripture one way and I'll preach it. Man, I'll preach it that way. But the next time I read it, man, something else jumps out at me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I like that. Or there's maybe in my growth, in my development, there's a greater understanding. Now someone has joined this dot and that dot, and I'm like, oh, right? Oh, now I see something bigger. I see something greater. I see expansion. I see next level understanding of something that I thought that I knew, but yet God is always. Do you know the universe is always expanding? So if it's expanding, we should be expanding. Unless we're talking size and you mention it. Then expanding don't count, right? Goes back to my joke. Sorry about that one. Amen. Well, let me just preface by saying we've been teaching some things on some next level things. I mean, you know, as a church, I believe God's always taken us to a greater understanding and a greater insight of, you know, the needs to meet of the community and the world and things like that. But also, I believe how many can say you're in a next level even in your home than you were 2 years ago? Yeah. Aaron's the only one. Tina, thank you. Your kids are the only ones that are growing now and have teenagers, you know. I mean, our houses are constantly changing. About the time you think you got them kids figured out, then they hit the next bump in the road and the next level, and you're thinking, who is this alien that is living in my house? Anybody? And you thought I was talking about your kids. I wasn't. I was talking about your spouse. No. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding about that. But how many know in our finances there are levels? I was thinking this week, that song we sing about His goodness is running after me. Man, I just get overwhelmed with the goodness of God. I want to tell you that His blessings are yes and amen, and they humble me all the time. But we're not in the same place now financially that we were when we got married. Amen. Thank God. And I thank God every day. Man, I was thinking there was a day when I could go through the grocery store with the calculator. If I had a calculator, sometimes it was pen and pencil. Man, that's old, isn't it? And if I got to the counter and I had too much, I had to put a couple things back until next paycheck because I couldn't get it all at one time. But I want to tell you, now I'm to the place I can take my grocery list through and take somebody else with me and buy their groceries too. Come on, somebody. And I don't say that in bragging. I'm saying I'm going to tell you that the goodness of God will chase you down. And if you really know and understand the power of giving and the how much He wants to bless you, you will understand that there is next level favor in what God wants to take you to. If you're not there yet, I'm going to tell you, you can get there. Because God will bring you to next level of understanding in the simplistic things like finance and relationship and marriage and children. Amen. Amen. He will work. He works together for the good of those who love God. Do I have anybody in here who loves God today? And are the called? Do I have any called people in here today? According to His purpose. His purpose. See, if it's His purpose, it's going to work every time. Because that's the goodness of God that is running after me. Amen? And I think if we'd all be honest with ourselves, we would understand that God is in pursuit of us as much as we are in pursuit of Him. Amen? Amen? He shows up in my car. He shows up in my kitchen. He shows up in my shopping. He shows up on my lawnmower. You know that. My son-in-law was so glad the rain finally came because he knows that's where I get my sermons. He's like, if it don't rain soon, we ain't gonna be able to listen to it. It's gonna be crispy. He's told my husband not to get me a zero turn because I wouldn't have near as much time on the lawnmower to get sermons. And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'm just messing with you this morning, but I want you to know that His goodness, His favor will show up. Some of you need God to divinely show up in some situations that you are in or thinking about are faced with right now. And I want to tell you, he will. If you'll make room for him, he will show up every time. Every time. Last week we talked about Gideon. Gideon didn't win a battle. God did. He said, Gideon, I'm going to defeat your enemy as one man. How many know that one man is Jesus? But before he ever took him into battle, he heard what the enemy was saying about him first. We so many times want to focus on what the enemy is saying, and what he's doing is saying, that's nothing but the sword of Gideon and the victory that God's about to give him. The enemy should know your name and know that he's already defeated. How many know they knew they were defeated before Gideon ever showed up? And all he had to do was blow a trumpet, break a broken vessel, and let the light shine. And God gave victory. All of those are typical of Christ. The trumpet, the prophetic word that's being sounded, the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And man, when we break open this clay pot and let that light shine out, but not just let the light shine, he said, when you get there, I want you to break the light, break the vessel, shine the light, and then say, what? You remember? The sword of the Lord and Gideon. Why? Because the enemy already knew Gideon's name. And when they heard the name Gideon, they knew God had given the victory. Your prophetic declaration matters. What you begin to speak with the power of your tongue matters. When you go into your day saying, man, it's going to be a rough one. Guess what? It's going to be a rough one. You might go into your day saying, man, this is going to be the best day ever. And it's still a rough one. But you know who's in charge. Amen. Yeah. You go in with the right heart, the right spirit, and sometimes it's just what you need to, you know, change the atmosphere of where you are. I want to go to the book of 2 Kings this morning. I had a whole nother sermon lined up. The Lord delights in flipping tables. And so he did that to me yesterday, and that's okay. Sometimes he flips tables in a good way, right? So I want to share this scripture, and there's a lot in it. You know, I welcome your thoughts and all of that. But as we go into camp, this is one of the scriptures that kind of always pops out. Not camp, I'm sorry, conference. It's conference, it's camp for adults kind of thing. Only they don't stay here. Thank you, Jesus. They go back to their motel at night. But when I go into that, I mean, no, there's always room in the kingdom of God to serve. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I believe as believers, we're called to serve. Jesus said, he who's the greatest must be what? Servant of all, or be your servant. And so I believe that serving is a very big part of who we are in Christ, and just little opportunities to serve. But I want you to know, in this house, even as you have served those in June at camp and things like that, those things do not go unnoticed or unrewarded. Amen. Do you believe that? But I believe when we find serving as an opportunity and a blessing for us to be able to serve, it changes how we do it. If you do all things unto the Lord, you won't get near as wore out as if you do it unto people. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Growing up, I always heard the scripture, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And for all my childhood years, I could not figure that one out. Because everybody knows it's funner to get presents than it is to give presents, right? God finally gave me a revelation of that. It's more of a blessing. I'm more blessed to be able to give, yeah, than I am to have to be on the side of having to receive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing wrong with receiving. But I'm thankful for the times that I had to be the one receiving because I was in need. But I'm more thankful for the times when I can be the one giving out of abundance or out of plenty because God has brought us to a place where we're not having to always be in demand, but we're on the side of resource. Amen. And we become a resource. And so I want to talk a little bit about our serving and next level thinking even in that. It says, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there. I like that. Who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever she came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a room. Everybody say, make a room. Let's make space. Let's make room, make a space, a habitation, a dwelling place. I know that this is a man of God. Let's make space, make room, make a dwelling place on the roof and put in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And all those will preach as well. And I don't know that we'll get them all in, but we'll get there. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and he laid down there. He enjoyed the fruits of her labor. Amen. His labor. And as he was laying there, he said to his servant Gehazi, call that Shunammite. A great woman. Call that great woman. So he called her. Another translation says, a rich woman. A well-to-do woman, a woman of position and power. Call her. So he called her and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? You have served me. What can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? Do you want fame? Do you want attention? Do you want position? She replied, I have a home among my own people, or I dwell among my own. What can be done for her? Elijah asked. What she's saying is, I'm good. I'm good. I need nothing. What can be done for her? Gehazi says she has no son and her husband is old. Where have we heard that before? Elisha said, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. Oh no, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. Don't promise me something that you cannot fulfill. But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, my head, my head. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. Hence the mother joke. Carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why do you go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. That's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to the servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. Gunner, Edna, get her done. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is the child all right? Everything all right? She said when she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said, did I tell you? Don't raise my hopes. Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet. And if anyone greets you, don't do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead, laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed, stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the woman, call Shunammite. And he did. When she came back, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. When I think about this portion of Scripture, the Scripture tells us that it is Elisha, and Elisha has come to the house of a great woman. Now, I find it interesting because, and maybe you can correct me, but this is the only person that I know of in the Old Testament that when the prophet came to the house, didn't ask for anything from the prophet. She came with a mindset of blessing the prophet. How many know when the prophet would come to town, man of God, there's a famine in the land. Man of God, there's a drought. Man of God, the water's not good. Man of God, we need something multiplied. Man of God, you know, you need to call down fire. Man, there's always a demand. But how many know there is a woman, a great woman, that recognizes that when the prophetic word begins to come to town, you better make room for it. And when you make room for it, God is going to bring into you and into your house exceedingly abundantly above all you can even ask or think. How many know that's the next level thinking? When we're not always coming to God and say, do this, do this, do this, I need this, I need this. But we come to God and say, God, what can I do for you? I mean, there was a woman who came with an alabaster box. She didn't come with an agenda to get it filled up. She came to pour it out. And that's a different mindset. That's next level thinking. And so she said, I'm not asking anything of man of God. But she said to her husband, I recognize the voice of God when I hear it. I recognize that this man is a great man of God. Let's open our home. Let's build a room. Let's make space for your presence, for his presence to be in our house. How many of you all have prayed that prayer in here today and said, God, I recognize the greatness of the prophetic voice? And I'm not just talking, prophetic voice is not just, thus saith the Lord, about this time next year, you will conceive a child. No. The prophetic voice is not always, thus saith the Lord, to one person, and it can be. I mean, I believe in the prophetic, when God will speak specifically to somebody. But when we're talking about prophetic voice, sometimes it's just the word of the Lord that's coming forth at the time and the season that if you will hear it, it will cause miracles to happen among you. And she said to her husband, honey, we got to build us a room. We got to build a room. So that when the presence of the Lord is in our city, I want it in my house. Elisha, don't you pass by here without stopping. I got some sausage, gravy, and biscuits. I got a pot of vegetable soup and some bread. I got something for you to eat. You come by. You sit at my house and you sit down at my table and you eat with me. Right? Anytime you're passing through, you are welcome at my house. And she builds a bed. I mean, a bed speaks of rest. And she builds a table, which speaks of feeding. And she builds a chair that we're seated on. How many know you're seated with him in heavenly places? And she puts a lamp or a light in there. I don't know about you, but I want rest to reside in my house. I want there to be a feeding on the word of God in my house. I want the illumination of the light of Jesus to push out every bit of darkness in my house. I want to make room. We sing the song, I will make room for you. We're not making room in this house for him. You know why? It's his house. You are welcome in this place, mighty God. Not this place, because it's his place. What we're saying is, welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. I will make room for you here. Here. That's where I'm making room. Because you know what? Sometimes this gets crowded. Am I on the only one in the house this morning that it gets crowded up here sometimes? And she said, I'm going to make room for the prophetic to operate in my house. And as the man of God in the presence of God is residing in her house, he's laying on that bed. And he says, call that woman. I want to do something for her. Call her. Now see, we've been talking about God being in pursuit of you and his goodness is running after me. But I think our mindset tells us that we're constantly running after him. We're trying to catch up to God, right? But I think if we ever understand how much he wants to give us the goodness and the keys of the kingdom and the favor and the blessings of the Lord. Let me just say this, though. He doesn't give blessings just to bless you. He gives you blessings that you become a dispenser of those blessings. You know, I talk a lot about seeds. You know, when you throw out cantaloupe seeds, or you throw out some watermelon seeds, or you throw out, you know, you cut up that water, that cantaloupe, whatever. And before you know it, you look down over the bank where you've been throwing those seeds, and what's happening? There's a cantaloupe growing down there. There's a watermelon growing. There's pumpkin seeds down there. You know what? I forgot about that. I threw them seeds out. I scattered them, but I moved on. I forgot. But there are times in my life that I have sowed seed and I went back to a place and said, oh yeah, I remember throwing that out there and God is just so good. I didn't tend it. I didn't hoe it. I didn't water it. But God brought increase because the seed was sown. Amen? And so there she is. He says, call her. She says, what do you need? She said, I'm content to dwell among my own people. She said, I don't really need anything. She's provided for. But let me just tell you this. God had three miracles in mind. Do you know what they were? What's the three miracles? Her is one. What do you want? What's the second one? Third one? Number one was her. Number two, your husband, who is old. He's about to get a miracle. And the son you didn't know was in the works is a miracle. See, sometimes we think it's for us. But it's just about just as much about who we're connected to and what God wants to do next as it is what he wants to do for me. See, I believe the keys to the kingdom is when you understand that God has poured favor into your life, but not just for you, but so that the generations next to come can understand the prophetic and supernatural miracles of what God did in a mama, a nana, a daddy, somebody who built a room and made space for God to be present with them. Amen. And so there comes a time when he tells her this promise. And there comes a time that this child grows. It matures some. We don't know how old he is. One Bible says he was a grown man. Another says she held him on her lap. So I'm not sure the age. You play it out how you want to. But how many know he's out in the field and he's working in the heat and in the elements? And he starts to say, my head, And the dad says, hence the joke, take him to his mother. And the mother sets and holds him on her lap. And you know the story. What I want to say about that is there is a generation who need some help in the head. That they are struggling. They are mixed up. They're angry. They're hurting. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. They have been exposed to elements. And it's taken its toll on them. And they're in need of help, and they're in need of healing, and they're in need of somebody to speak into their life. They're in need of a mama that will hold them on their lap and cradle them when they feel like they're dying. There is a generation that is in crisis that needs the church, who is the woman, to rise up and say, there is an answer, there is a place, there is some place to reside where you can find healing and help and hope. And so she is not deterred by the outcome of that circumstance, but she tells the servant, get my donkey. I love her. She's a woman of tenacity that is not swayed by what she sees, but by what she knows and what God has already promised to her. Get my donkey and don't slow down unless I tell you. I want to tell you, there's some people, there's some women, there's some churches that need to saddle up and head out towards the prophetic word that God has already spoken and said, I am not being deterred by what I see right now. Now I'm going to saddle up and I'm going to approach the man of God. And she gets on there and she's stirring up dust. Come on, somebody. It is time to stir up some dust behind you. And as she stirs up some dust, she gets to the house. She didn't get there. She gets within view of the man of God. And he sees her coming. And this is out of character. Because it's not a new moon, it's not a holy day, it's not protocol. She saddles up, says, don't you slow down till you get me there. He said, go out and meet her, because ask her, is your husband all right, is your child all right, are you okay, well, is everything all right, what's going on? What's her response? Everything's all right. It is well. He says, is it well with you, is it well? It is well. How many know that's not true? The fact is, everything was not well. But the truth is that Jesus is truth, and I can confess what is the truth over what I know to be the fact. Come on, somebody. It's well. It's all well. It's good. She gets to the man of God, and she throws herself at his feet. And Gehazi goes to honor the man of God and going to pull her away. He said, no, let her go. There's something going on. And God has hid it from me. I'm going to give some comfort to every minister hearing this morning. There's sometimes when we don't know what we don't know. Amen. There's sometimes that you don't know what you don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the end result of this. But I can feel in my spirit there's something happening. He begins to talk to her. She said, man of God, I told you. Don't you lie to me. And she tells the situation to him. And he says, saddle up, go and take my staff and put it on her face. How many know staff speaks of old covenant? That's what Moses threw down and became snakes. That's what Moses used when he rolled back the Red Sea. That's what Moses used when he smote the rock. And sometimes we don't see miracles because we're using old covenant, Old Testament mindsets and theories and what always worked before, when God wants to take us to another level of understanding. The staff didn't work, but the man of God said it. I want to take you to another level. What's God do? What's Elijah do? He said, I'm going. I'm going. Because how many know sometimes we need fathers who will come into a room. Here's the beauty of this. This is my favorite part. I'm blowing my punchline, but it's okay. She takes him, before she leaves, she takes him and lays him on the bed that she had prepared for the prophet. Come on, somebody. Somebody ought to say amen right now. Because had she never had a heart to make room in her house for the prophetic and for the miracles, there would have been no place to lay that boy when he was struggling and when his head was messed up and when he couldn't think and when he was being destroyed by the elements. There'd been no place to take him because she had not made room for him in the house. I love that, man. Yep. You got to make room before you need it.
Yep. Yeah.
My husband's a builder. He said, no one has ever said to me, you made too many closets in my house. I wish I would have built my house smaller. He said, they always say, we should have enlarged this. We should have made this bigger. We should have put in more closets. We should have made more room. See, you can't wait till you need it, although God is sovereign, but you got to make preparation and a room for the presence and for the miracles before you need them.
Yeah.
How did she know what to do when the son was struggling? She said, I'm going to take him to the man of God's place of rest. And so when the man of God came to the house, he knew exactly where to go. He knew exactly where to go. He went to the bed that she had prepared for the man of God.
Yeah.
And for the prophetic voice. But this time, when he comes into the room, instead of laying a staff on him, sending an icon or a message that says, I'll pray for you, three praying hands and a heart. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Instead of staff, Elisha speaks of double portions. He speaks of Christ, new covenant, right? You know that. He goes in. Mother made petition, right? A father, the man of God that she honored, comes in. He doesn't use a staff, but he's touchable. He's accessible. And he puts his eyes to his eyes. He puts his nose to his nose. He puts his mouth to his mouth for mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He puts his body against his. How many know we can speak a word? We can send a prayer. We can do all that, but there's times when we need to have a face-to-face encounter with God and know what God is seeing, know what God is hearing, know what God is speaking, feel the heartbeat. See, if I laid on top of a young boy, they would feel my heartbeat because we're so close that you would hear my breath, feel my breath, and feel my heartbeat. I want to tell you, there's a place so close to God that he wants to become so close to you that you know what he's seeing. You know what he's speaking. You know what he's breathing. I mean, you know, John knew how to lay his head on the heartbeat or the breast of Jesus. John was the only disciple that Jesus didn't have to say to, follow me. When he has the conversation with Peter at the lake, at the shore. They said, well, what's going to happen to Peter? Or what's going to happen to the others? He said, I got that. You follow me. And so the man of God shows up in her room, in the place that she had prepared. And he goes nose to nose, face to face. There's something about, see, face to face is a new covenant concept. In the old covenant, he would say, oh, I'm seeing the face of God and now I'm going to die. How many, Gideon last week said, I've seen the face of God, I'm going to die. Peter said, Lord, you're too holy for me, get away from me. Moses said, Let me just see your hinder parts. I don't even need to see your face. I mean, no, that's an old covenant when you saw God turned away from you. But in the new covenant, he's face to face, heart to heart, breath to breath. And he wants to breathe in you new life. The thing that will heal what's going on up here is when we heal what's going on in here. You want to know what's wrong with our country? I'm going to tell you, it's real prophetic. Get ready. It's a heart problem. It's a heart condition. It's not politics. It's not policies. It's not gas. It's not the things that we're fighting over. It's a heart issue. Because if our heart was unto God and our heart was unto people, there'd be a whole lot of things solved outside of what we think that the government should solve. Come on, somebody. You go heart to heart with Jesus, and all of a sudden he starts speaking prophetically, and he starts to heal the generations that look like they're dead. They weren't. They started to sneeze. A sneeze is when you get a pollen or you get something foreign in your nasal passage, and the best way to get it out of there is to sneeze it out, right? How many of you know there's things, some things that needs to be cleared out of our heads? Thank you, Jesus. Because every moment, whether it is in discipline or not, is a teachable moment. Let me just tell you that the discipline of God is not to be despised. It is a teachable moment. We think, oh man, and I think Dr. House shared this last week. He said, when a judgment is in your face, when we say that God has brought the judgment, the judgment sometimes is in your favor. You're ruled on behalf of the plaintiff. I mean, no, there's been a judgment, but it's in your favor. God's not wanting to judge you, to condemn you. He wants the judgment to be in your favor. Hallelujah. And the child begins to sneeze, and he takes her back to the mama. Hallelujah. And the word of God is progressive from there. See, I'm one of those people, I want to know the rest of the story. I want to know that boy's name, and I want to know where he went from there. Because here's what happens when the hand of God touches a generation that's dying or thinks they're messed up in the head, and God begins to breathe life back into you, something has to change. Not only in you, but you become a world changer. Amen. He wasn't asleep. He wasn't dead. He was asleep. See, Jesus does the same thing when he goes into the house of Jairus. They said, don't trouble the master. It's too late. Don't bother. Because there are times when we think that the promises of God have passed us by. Anybody? God, it's never going to happen. I just don't see how you can make it happen. But this is called vertical vision. Not horizontal. I mean, most of the time we've got horizontal vision. We see what we see. But when God spoke to the servant, he said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see what you're doing above and around him. And he saw the whole host of the Syrian army. And they were the ones who became blinded. Not the servant. Their eyes were opened. Hallelujah. He goes to the house of Jairus. He said, don't trouble the master. And he put them all out, and he shut the door. Sometimes the best thing you can do is shut the door to negativity, shut the door to doubt, shut the door to fear, shut the door to mourning and grief and sorrow, and begin to see God beyond where you are and let God heal those places in our minds that are hurting. Amen? And he goes in and he prays over the little girl, but he only takes those who believe. And he just simply says to her, little girl, get up. I mean, no, it's time for a generation to wake up to who Jesus is. He was speaking the prophetic promise to what seems to be dead to bring life in the brokenness. Make room for the prophetic, even in this next week. Look for people that need ministry or that want to minister to you. Amen. The widow gave and then she received. See, in our mindset, we receive and then we give. It's not how it worked. Maybe Elizabeth had the strength to believe for John the Baptist because a Shunammite had the strength to believe for a son. She would have known the stories. She would have known the prophecies. And maybe, just maybe, when Zach came home and said, hey, hon. Well, he didn't say, hey, hon. He couldn't talk. He might have just said, Maybe, just maybe, she said, crazy old man. Maybe, though, for a moment, a thought passes through her mind and she says, you know what? I knew of a great woman. She made place for the prophetic in her house. She made a room. When she did, those things that seemed to be old became new again. Maybe, just maybe, if God did it for the Shunammite, he'll do it for me. And 9 months later, Elizabeth kissed the promise that God had spoken. Go ahead and stand to your feet with me this morning. See, next level thinking is when you stop asking God for what you want, but start listening when God is asking you. The prophet came to her and said, what do you want? What do you want? How can I bless you? Thank God for those that have been mamas in this house, mamas to me, those that are still mamas. Thank God for a church who is the bride, who is the mama. But when the church becomes more concerned about the next generation than they are about themselves, then we will see miracles and we will begin to proclaim, it is well, all is well, he's just asleep. He says, where's the place that you have provided? Take him there. See, there is a place of rest that we can take whoever needs to receive because somebody made room. What you guys will do here this week is bigger than what you think it is. That's what I want to encourage you with this morning. You will make room for the prophets from all over the world to come here. Don't take it lightly. You think we're just putting on another service. We're not. We're giving a place for the prophet to come to rest, a place for the prophet to come and eat, a place for the prophet to have a desk and a light, to be enlightened and to be encouraged and fed. And I want to tell you, when you do that, God will move on your behalf. And those things that you thought were dead, God may just begin to give mouth to mouth and begin to breathe again. And you will see life in places that you thought was beyond hope. Amen. Can you do that? When you serve this week, I just ask you, serve as if you are serving the prophetic in the house this week, and watch God bring it back to your house. Make room. Expand. Enlarge yourself. And get ready. Hallelujah. Anybody ready for that? Anybody in the house ready for that? Hallelujah. As Beth sings this morning, just receive it. Just make room this morning, all right? Just make room in your heart, because that's where it starts. And then you make room in your mind. And then you make room in your house. And then you make room in your agenda. And then you make room in your schedule. And before you know it, God's just infiltrated every part of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. As she sings, if you want special prayer, if you want to receive Jesus, you want to receive something from God today, you can come forward, or you can receive it right where you're at. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I prophesy increase over this house in Jesus' name. I prophesy enlargement. Hallelujah. I prophesy, Lord, that you are the filler of dreams. You are the raiser of the dead. You will fill all of those dark spaces. And you breathe life, Lord. And we stand in your completeness, Lord, in Jesus' name.